It's time for light that darkness can't defeat. It's time to escape from the shadow of death and into abundant life. For the people living in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Welcome to the Great Light Program with David Oyedepo Jr. Get set to arise and shine, because your light has come.
Stand in the cost of leadership. First of all, it's important that we again reiterate the fact that by redemption, you are now ordained for a life of relevance and impact. The Bible says you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are a city that is set upon the hill that cannot be hidden. No man lights a candle and puts it under a bushel, but rather upon a candlestick, that it may give light unto all. It means that you are ordained by God for influence. You are ordained by God for impact. You are ordained by God for affluence. We also see from scriptures in Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 23, it said, 10 men out of all languages of the earth will take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew and say, we will go with you because we have heard that God is with you. In other words, you are created for global impact. It says 10 men, not just 10 men, but of all languages of the earth. There are people hearing the sound of my voice this afternoon, that your name will be ringing in strange places. Somebody believe me, say loud, amen. I said your name will be ringing in strange places. Nations that you have never heard of will be celebrating you. If you are the one I'm talking about, say louder, amen. Now in Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1 to 3, he said, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of God is risen upon thee. He said, for darkness will cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. He said, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Gentiles. That word Gentiles there does not just mean sinners, it means nations. Gentiles will come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. There are people hearing me today that maybe nobody is even missing your absence. You are at Shiloh, nobody has even noticed that you are not around. But very shortly, nations will be calling for your attention. If somebody believe me, say louder, amen. I said nations will be calling for your attention. There are some of you that will begin to address global platforms. In your area, in your career, you will find yourself addressing global platforms. You believe it, say louder, amen. That is God's ordination for you and for me. He has ordained us to be citizens of global impact. That is who we are in Christ Jesus. And that potential will find expression in the name of Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:9 that I had not seen, he had not heard, it has not entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. He said, but his spirit reveals them unto us, for his spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So according to scriptures, what God has prepared or planned for you and for me, nobody has ever conceived it before. Nobody has ever thought about it before. No one has ever seen it before. No one has ever heard it before. That means your testimony will shock your generation. I thought you believed they would be shouting louder, amen. I said your testimony will shock your generation. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11, the Bible said, of all that are born of women, there is none that has risen that is greater than John. But he that is least, the smallest, the most insignificant in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And you and I are children of the kingdom. That means everybody from the Old Testament until John, the Bible said, you and I have greater potential than they had. That is why the Bible said in Hebrews 11 and verse 39 and verse 40, it said, all of these having obtained or having received the good report, he said, yet they obtained not the promise. God having preserved some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So very clearly, you and I are carriers of divine potential. What you carry, the world has never seen it before. And I pray for somebody under the sound of my voice that that heavenly deposit will find expression in the name of Jesus. I said that heavenly deposit in your life will find expression in the name of Jesus. This means in essence that you are now ordained for blazing the trail and for setting the pace. We are ordained to blaze the trail and to set the pace, but we have discovered that all of these are in potential form. And there is a cost for the conversion of potential into reality. If this is what God has packaged for us, then how do I ensure that it is manifested in my life? And we have been looking at the cost of leadership, trying to see what it will take for you and I to unveil all that God has packaged inside us for our world to see. And we saw first the cost of vision. We saw also the cost of wisdom. We saw the cost of discipline. And today we are going to go further as we examine the cost of diligence. In the book of Proverbs chapter 22 verse 29, Proverbs 22:29, the Bible says to us there, it said, seest thou a man that is diligent in his business, he will stand before kings, he will not stand before mere men. Remember, our anchor scripture for this teaching series has been from Ecclesiastes chapter 10, beginning from verse 5. The Bible said, there is an evil which has proceeded, which I've seen under the sun, and an error which has proceeded from the ruler. He said, a folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low places. He said, I've seen servants upon horses, and princes walking on foot as servants upon the earth. He said, he that digged the pit will fall in, and whoso breaks the edge, the serpent will bite. He said, he that rolls the stone, he said, will be hurt by it, and the one who cleaves wood will be endangered thereby. He said, when the axe head is dull, you put more energy, but wisdom is profitable to direct. If you jump to verse 18, you see, the Bible tells us there, it said, through slothfulness, the building decays, and by the folding or idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. This is God showing us why that evil is existing. He said, there is this evil taking place on the earth. You see folly set in high places. You see the rich sitting in low places. You see servants riding on horses, and you see princes walking on foot. In other words, everything is upside down. The way things should be is not that way yet. Why? Among other things, he said, through much slothfulness, the building decays, and by the idleness of the hands, the house drops through. What God is showing you and I is this. Diligence remains an absolute necessity if you are going to experience your emergence as a leader. What is diligence? Diligence simply can be defined as hard work. Hard work. Hard work. We must come to recognize that God is not averse to hard work. In fact, the Bible said in that scripture we saw earlier, he said that if you see a man that is diligent in his business, he will stand before kings. He will not stand before mere men. It talks about taking a business approach to your life's assignment. If you look at Jesus in the book of Luke chapter 2 verse 49, he said, do you not know I must be about my Father's business? He was not casual about his assignment. He took it in a business-like manner. If you are going to go far in life and destiny, you must not play with your life assignment. You must be diligent in your business. You must be hardworking in your assignment. Deploy your potential with seriousness. Only a serious approach, like God's servant will say, will provoke a glorious outcome.
you want to end glorious, then you must live serious. Live a life that is manifested by seriousness. When we talk about diligence, we are talking about giving your best to your task. Giving your best to your task. That's what diligence is all about. Now, quickly, why is diligence important? Why must I be diligent in my assignment? Let's look at five reasons here, very quickly, why diligence is vital. Number one, it takes diligence to enjoy promotion. It takes diligence to enjoy promotion. In that scripture, Proverbs 22 and verse 29, it said, if you see a man that is diligent, he will not end up with average people. He will end up among kings. If you want to be promoted, be diligent. So, diligence is what brings about promotion. If you want to go far in life, then get committed to labor. Those who are committed to laboring will naturally enjoy supernatural promotion. Shout hallelujah. Is somebody hearing what God is saying? So ensure that you are hardworking. Don't be a layabout youth. One of the benefits of youth is strength. And one of the assignments of strength is for the pursuit of purpose. Strength is one of the currencies of the spirit. God gives it to you in order to run your race. Remember in Habakkuk chapter 2, the Bible tells us, Habakkuk 2 and verse 1 down to verse 3, I will stand upon my watch, I will sit on the tower, I will see what he will say unto me and what I will answer when I'm reproved. And the Lord will say, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may do what? He may run. So it takes strength to run. And you and I are at the peak of strength. And that is why we must continue to engage in running the race diligently. And as you do so, God says for the diligent, he cannot stay at the bottom. He must keep rising to the top. For somebody under the sound of my voice, I see you moving to higher levels. Number two, it takes diligence to sustain rulership. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 24, Proverbs 12, 24, it said, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. If you want to be a ruler, if you want to be a leader, if you want to be at the forefront, then get committed to labor. If you look at God's servant and father, the apostle over this commission, you will see a man who is committed to laboring. You see him continuously exerting himself, working hard. You can't work harder than others and not end higher than others. The dimension of your labor determines the dimension of your throne. It is how hard you work that determines how high you fly. If you want to go far in the post, in your assignment and in your calling, or whatever purpose God has in store for you, you must be committed to laboring. When you hear him say, oh, you will go further than we have gone, what it means is that you will work harder than we have done. Because if you are going to go further, then you must work harder. It takes labor to bear rule. It takes labor to bear rule. Anyone that will end as a ruler must be one that is committed to labor. Shout hallelujah. I say shout hallelujah. I say shout hallelujah. That's what it takes. That's what it takes. You find God's servant, the apostle of his commission, everywhere he is, walk follows him. You see a bag, a briefcase, inside it is work. Anywhere he's going, you see him stopping on the way, he's laboring, he's driving towards the office, he's laboring in the car, he gets to the office, he's walking in the office, he's going from the office to the house, he's laboring on the way, he gets to the house, he enters into the room, he's laboring there. One thing I've observed about him is that you will discover there is no room he can stay where there's no table. The first thing he searches for in any room is not the bed, it's the table. He is looking for where to walk from. No matter how beautiful the room, it is not complete until there is a table. Because as far as he's concerned, what is of more importance to him is not rest but work. You see, the purpose of rest is to regather energy to work. There are people who are just perpetually lazy. They enjoy rest, and the whole purpose of their life is to pursue rest. They are looking for holidays in abundance. They are looking for vacations in abundance. When you see a young person say, oh, if God would just bless me, I tell you, I would just like to go to Paris and go and rest for some time. I'd like to go to Spain and rest for some time. In fact, I heard the Bahamas is very beautiful. I want to go there and see some things for some time. Hear this, I hear very well. Sightseeing is for retirees. If you are still running your race, face your task. Is somebody hearing what God is saying? If you are still running your race, face your task. Face your task. When I see somebody who is a young man taking pictures everywhere of different places in the world, see me, I'm in Jamaica, see me, I know that he is confused about his journey. Because any man who is purposeful and assignment-minded is focused on his task. Why am I here? What am I here for? I told us yesterday that there's a principle God taught me. It is the principle of life by deduction. Many of us have been deceiving ourselves that we are young. The truth is that the reality is that you are not young, you are getting old. You are getting too old. Because 120 is the years God has given to you. Whatever you have done now, if the balance is what you are living with. So you must be conscious of the fact that there is a time tag to that which God has called you for. And you must labor with that in mind. Be tenacious in your pursuit. Be dogged in your assignment. I see grace coming upon somebody here in the name of Jesus. And so if you want to rule, then it takes diligence. Number three, it takes diligence to escape failure. It takes diligence to do what? To escape failure. If you will not fail, you must be diligent. You see, it is possible for a person to have potential and end up as a failure. And the reason for that is the absence of diligence. Anyone who will not work on himself, work on his assignment, pursue his or her task, is an individual that will not succeed. Because success demands labor. Success demands labor. If you look at Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible said, he said, this book of the law should not depart out of your mouth, but you should meditate upon it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein. He said, and then thou shalt make your way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So your labor is what determines your success. You are not, success does not just happen. You have good success because you have made your way prosperous. You have made your way prosperous. You have made your way prosperous. Please hear this and hear it very well. Any day that you cannot quantify your labor is a failed day. What have you done today? Any day you cannot quantify your labor, it's a failed day. I've seen God's servant many times have agendas that can be up to over 60 items for a day. And you have a person who will live for 1 week and not have one accomplishable task. All he knows is to have woken up and to sleep. Everything in between, unaccounted for. You see, the truth is this. Your emergence cannot occur without quantifiable labor. Is somebody hearing what God is saying? Without quantifiable labor. After this session, I want you to think about the day and try to account for it. Ask yourself, since I got up in Shiloh hour, what has happened today? You will discover that many people allow their day to happen to them. They don't make anything happen in their day. What have you made happen today? What have you tried to pull out of the day? Because each day will only produce for you what you pull out of it. And you extract from your day by labor. You extract from your day by labor. You pull out of your day by labor. You heard God's servant say that he has been working on Shiloh 2017 from May. And yet, since Shiloh began, he has continued to labor intensely. Between yesterday and this morning, he has slept only about 2 hours. Pulling out of the day as much as possible. And then somebody has only listened to the message. You have not responsible for preaching it. Your home is to listen. And say, that message today was long. I'm tired. I need to go and rest properly. And there are some of them that the rest that they were resting from the closing of that 11 o'clock, they have not woken up from it yet. They are still in the process of waking up. You see, you can't go far with slothfulness. It is only diligence that secures the future. If you want to escape failure, get committed to diligence. Number four, it takes diligence to escape poverty. It takes diligence to escape what? To escape poverty. Poverty is a friend of the slothful, but is an enemy of the diligent. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30 down to verse 31, it said, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man that is void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nestled had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall was broken down. He said, and in verse 32, I saw it and I considered it well. I looked upon it and I received instruction. What was the problem? Verse 33, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. What will happen? He said in verse 34, so shall thy poverty come. You see, poverty is not a cause for the lazy. It is the end result of laziness. It is the natural outcome. No matter the prayer point you pray, if you don't leave laziness, poverty will not leave you. Is somebody hearing what God is saying? It is your escape from poverty. Diligence. So hard work is what brings you out of a hard life. Hard work is what brings you out of a hard life. If you want to enjoy prosperity, you must engage diligence. You must engage diligence. In the book of Proverbs 13 and verse 11, this is what the Bible says. It says, wealth gotten by vanity shall diminish, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. In case you are waiting for money just to land and to just be dashed to you, God is saying that kind of money, it will diminish. It will disappear. Ask yourself, all the money that they just gave to you like that, all through the years of your life, where is it now? If you count it, it's much. But where is it now? Anything you don't know how it comes, you won't know how it will go. Is somebody hearing what God is saying? So go after diligence. It is your escape from poverty. Number five, it takes diligence to actualize potential. I love what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10 concerning Paul. He said, I'm what I am by the grace of God. But the grace of God was not bestowed upon me in vain. For I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. If you will actualize your potential, if you will reach the plan that God has for you,
then it will take diligence. Paul the apostle was a man who had been called by God right from his mother's womb. He said, God who had separated me from my mother's womb and put me and called me into the apostleship. He was a man who had the call of God upon his life. But for Paul's destiny to find expression, he needed diligence. He said, I labored more abundantly than they all. And if you check your Bible very well, you don't see any apostle that worked as hard as Paul. He came last, but he ended first by labor. It doesn't matter how much grace is upon your life, without diligence, you will be limited. Is somebody hearing what God is saying? You can be loaded with grace, heavily anointed, but if there is no diligence, you will be limited. Paul was a man that, if you check the scriptures, he was not a man who was like, you know, an impressive speaker. The Bible said concerning Paul, he said, they said that his physical appearance is weak and contemptible. He didn't look like a powerful preacher. He didn't look like somebody who was charismatic. He was not an exciting person to be around. He was not somebody who caught attention of everybody at the same time. But he was a man that labored. And those who have charisma were forgotten. But Paul is still speaking. Why? By labor. How committed was Paul to labor? Even when they locked him in prison and said, now stop preaching, he started writing. That is, the world must hear what I have to say by force. He labored and labored and labored. Until today, you can't preach the gospel without saying, Paul said, any message you preach that doesn't have a scripture of the epistles of Paul cannot be complete. At every point in time, you hear Paul speaking from the pages of scriptures. Why? Commitment to labor. I don't care your gifting. If you are not committed to labor, your gifting will be limited. Is somebody hearing what God is saying? It doesn't matter how gifted you are. It doesn't matter how charismatic you are. It doesn't matter how, as it were, the kind of attention you get. If you are not committed to labor, the expression of your destiny will be limited. But I pray for somebody here today that the grace to be committed to labor will come afresh upon you. Somebody believe it, say louder, amen. I said, somebody believe it, say louder, amen. Somebody believe it, say louder, amen. Now, how do you develop yourself for diligence? How do you develop yourself for diligence? Number one, be task-minded. Be task-minded. Be task-minded. Jesus said, I must walk the works of him that sent me while it is day. That is, he was focused on his task. John chapter 9 and verse 4, I must walk the work of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can walk. In John chapter 5 and verse 17, we see Jesus also saying there, John 5, 17, he said, my father walketh hitherto and I walk. Be focused on your task. Be task-minded. Keep thinking, what do I need to do? Number two, refuse idleness. Refuse idleness. If you look at what we saw in that scripture in Proverbs 24, it said a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hand to sleep. It is all little by little. The Bible makes it clear that it is the little foxes that destroy the vine. So, refuse to be idle. Refuse to be idle. Don't sit down doing nothing. Somebody say, oh, but I don't have a job. What will I be doing with myself? You see, anyone who is looking for what to do, who is committed to finding something to do with his hand, God will bring that thing in his direction. I love the testimony I was just told today about one of us. Young man was in America for years and somehow was repatriated back to Nigeria.
He came back and there was nothing. He had only 2,000 naira to his name. And then he went to go and begin to stay on one of the land that belonged to his mother. And right there, he just saw lemon. And it just occurred to him, rather than sitting down here, 2,000 naira to my name, he started plucking lemon, going to people who have birthdays, and squeezing lemon physically, making lemon juice with his hands. Today, it has become a mega business. From that lemonade business, is lemonade now is all over the world. From what he was squeezing with his hand, you see, there is something that is not far from you to do. Do it.
He said, no, as a graduate, I can't be doing this kind of thing. I mean, I went to school. After all, I'm a first class student. Don't make yourself a first class failure.
Settle down. The Bible says, whatsoever your hand findeth to do, what? Do it.
Those who feel like they are too big for small things are too small for big things.
Settle down and do it. Settle down and do it. Refuse to be idle. Refuse to be idle. You are a student. Wonderful. What can you do while going to school? What can you do while going to school? The school is not taking your whole time. There is something you can still do. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When I was in university, I worked all kinds of work. I worked as a janitor, as a cleaner. I worked as wire remover. I worked as laborer to carry load for people. There's no semester I enter school that I don't find work. Not one. You see, idleness is a potential killer. That is what is inside you will die when idleness is permitted. It dies a natural death. It dies a natural death.
You are a young man, you are a student, your parents are giving you pocket money, and it's only pocket money you are using to pay tithes. God will pay, he will bless them, not you. Because he knows the owner of the money.
You say, Lord, why is my heaven not opening? Why is the heaven of your father opening?
Because you are paying tithes with his money. God is busy opening. You think God doesn't know the root of the money? He knows whose neighbor brought it. You have made yourself just a permanent collector. Therefore, God continues to bless the one from whom it has come. But if you labor with your own hands, the 5,000 that comes your way, you pay tight on it, your heavens will open.
Shout hallelujah. Is somebody hear what God is saying?
My excitement while I was in school in labor is the fact that my tithe will open my own heaven. My tithe will open. That is, you pay your tithe now, you know that yes, it has come from your labor. God is a very targeted God. This God we serve is a very, he knows how to make the heaven open over the specific person. That's why two people can be living in the same apartment and heaven open over one and it's closed over the other one.
Heavily strategic God. So find a way to labor. Refuse to be idle.
There are some that have jobs. They go to work, but they don't work at work. They enter into the office, and all they do from morning till evening is chat, 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 chat.
You can't go far if you allow idleness. Please hear this and hear very well. The Bible says, through slothfulness, the building decays. By folding of the hands or by idleness, the house will break down. It will drop through. That talks about the picture of destiny. If you are idle, destiny will break down. If you are lazy, the house of destiny will decay. So avoid idleness. Number three, be committed to productivity. That means be result oriented. Think about what must be produced each day. What must be produced each day? What kind of result must come out of each day? Hallelujah. What result must come out of each day? The Bible says, say to the righteous, it shall be well with him, and he will eat of the fruit of his labor. If your labor does not produce, there is nothing to eat. So it means that there must be fruit, there must be result. Your labor must carry result. In other words, don't be just committed to working hard, but working productively. Let something come out of your labor each day. Quantify the output. What has come out today? What have you done that has produced one result or the other today? Shout hallelujah. Somebody's story here is changing. Well, I believe as you do all of these things and call upon the grace of God to assist you, I see each one walking into greater dimensions of manifestation as leaders in the name of Jesus. As has been prophesied, there is a rise of giants. They are coming up in every field. They are coming up in every area of human endeavor. And you will be one of them. You believe it? Say louder, amen. I said you will be one of them. I said you will be one of them. Number two cost that we're looking at today is the cost of sacrifice. The cost of what? Now, Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 49 to 50, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and now am I stretched until it is accomplished. Sacrifice is going the extra mile and paying the extra price. Going the extra mile and paying the extra price. It is one thing to work hard, but when you talk about sacrifice, it's not just giving your best, but going beyond your best. Going beyond your best. Going beyond your best. If there is something I've learned about God's servant, it is this aspect of sacrificial living. Going beyond his best in the pursuit of every assignment. There is no one that can survive around him with laziness. You can't. Because those of us who are privileged to work with him, everything is budgeted. Your sleep is on budget. Your waking up time is on budget. The time it takes you to get dressed is also budgeted. How much time you can sacrifice to eat him is also budgeted. Everything is on strict budget. Because you go to bed at certain time and you must wake at certain time. There is no excuse in between. There's no excuse in between. You find him going, giving beyond his best. I remember at the point we came to work one day in the night, and probably about 1 o'clock or so in the morning, he looked at us and said, okay, everybody, let's go home. Everyone go home. We need to go and rest. Covenant hour is coming in the morning. And we all left. We were all tired that day and just disappeared and rushed home. Everybody thanking God for the day and quickly going to close our eyes to sleep. And by the time we came back in the morning, he said, oh, after you all left, I came back. After you all left, I came back. We were all tired. And we are all younger than him. And yet, he is working harder than us. Is somebody here? I say at 1 o'clock in the morning is the work we have started from covenant of prayer that we are ending at 1 o'clock the next morning. You would think, okay, there is even your tiredness, God should understand that you are tired. God will agree that it's okay to be tired from 5:30 in the morning till 1 o'clock the next morning. Tiredness should be permitted. So we went back that day. Not only to discover that as we were going, he took his bag into the house and everybody went to their place and he turned back and went back to the office. While we were all sleeping, he continued working. That's what you call sacrifice. Going beyond your best. Going beyond your best. There are some people, young people, say, you say, I can't function well if I don't sleep up to 8 hours a night. I'm telling you, I'll just be seeing things like this. I'll be seeing like this, seeing like this. I need to sleep in order to do well. You see, the truth is this. You really don't know how far you can go till you stretch yourself. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? You don't know how far you can go until you stretch yourself. I must tell you the truth. If I sleep more than 4 hours in a night, it's a miracle. I tell you. Because I've seen how those who went far, went far. And I'm not planning on not going far. I'm planning on going far, so I must also sacrifice myself. Is somebody hearing what I'm going to say? I must also sacrifice myself. I must stretch myself. Jesus said, now am I stretched until it's accomplished. I pray for somebody here today that the grace to stretch comes afresh upon you. You believe it? Say loud, amen. Now, why sacrifice? Just one reason. It takes sacrifice to maximize potential. Remember, I said it takes diligence to realize potential. But it takes sacrifice to maximize, to make the most of potential. You don't know how far you can go till you stretch yourself. You don't know how high you can go until you stretch yourself. It is stretching yourself that maximizes potential. Shout hallelujah. Going beyond your best is what it takes to maximize potential. That's what it takes. So you and I must be committed to be stretched, because that is the only way for us to make the most of our potential. Look at what the Bible said concerning Jesus. Philippians 2 verse 5 to 11. It said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. He said, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God? He said, but took upon himself the form of a servant and was made after the fashion of man. And as a result of it, he said he was obedient even to the obedience of death. Wherefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him a name that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. His greatness was a product of stretching. Do you remember Jesus went before God and said, Lord, if it can be, let this cup pass over me. There are things that are inconvenient. They look like they are things that you cannot naturally do. But when you stretch yourself to do them, the maximum potential in you finds expression. You don't know how great you can be until you stretch yourself. Is somebody hearing what God is saying? You don't know how great you can be until you stretch yourself. You are loaded with more potential than the world has ever seen. Please hear this. Your own kind of potential has never been experienced before. That is what the Bible says. The kind of testimony inside you, nobody has heard it before. That's what the Bible says. The kind of breakthrough loaded in your destiny has never been seen before. In fact, the Bible said that no man has ever thought of it before. But hear this, it will take stretching. It will take what? It will take stretching. There is no task that God has given you as a life assignment that doesn't have a star in it for you. But it is how much you stretch that determines how much you realize. I see grace coming upon somebody here. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, if you want to live a sacrificial life, take note of the following. Quickly, number one, always seek to go the extra mile. Look at what extra you can do. It is those who give extra that end up extraordinary. Seek to go the extra mile. What extra can I do? What else can I add to what I'm doing? Seek to go the extra mile. Don't settle for mediocrity. Number two, engage the grace of God in prayer. God said to Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. If you want to go far with God, learn to call upon him for grace. Lord, give me grace for this task. I've learned something. I never fear any assignment. I simply ask for grace for it. Lord, this assignment looks so big, but give me grace to do it. Give me grace to do it. By privilege, I've never said, no, I can't do anything to any assignment. Every time an assignment is given to me, I simply say, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it, sir. And then I go, God, give me grace for it. You can call on grace. Lord, I am asking you for grace for this assignment. I'm asking you for grace for this task. I'm asking you for grace to give me what it takes to deliver this assignment. Shout hallelujah. Engage the grace of God. And finally, number three, seek for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Seek for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Philippians 2 and verse 13, it is God that works in us to help us to will and do of his good pleasure. And God that work in us refers to the Holy Spirit at work in us. Each one of us must seek the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to carry out any task at hand. The good news is this: everyone under the sound of my voice today, the greatness in you will not be covered. I said the greatness in you will not be covered.
Someone's knocking at the door. Someone's knocking at the door. Can you hear him knocking? Can you hear him knocking? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's at the door.
Say after me, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I know that I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me. And on the third day you rose again. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Take control of me from this day forward. Now I know that I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I pray for you, Father. I thank you today for these precious ones you have drawn into your kingdom. Let the grace that has brought them keep them in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for each one of them, we decree today that the barriers against their life and destiny be broken in the name of Jesus. Grace to walk with you all the days of their lives. Release it upon them. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Somebody believe, say a loud amen.
If you have just received Christ as your Lord and Savior, or were blessed through this broadcast, we would love to hear from you. For inquiries and testimonies, send an email to info@tglmedia.org. We also invite you to visit one of our Winners Chapel churches near you anywhere around the world. Until next time, keep walking in the great light.